Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. You guys are awesome. Amazing. Man, they did a good job. Thank you, Joe. How's everybody doing? Good. Awesome. Well, I pray that God moves in your life tonight. That's my prayer. Let's just pray right now. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for what the worship team already did and opening up our hearts to you, God. I pray that you anoint this message and anoint all of us today, God, to just be receivable. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming out. We're still verse by verse. We're in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And one of my good friends, he's sitting over there in the front row, named Shane. Not only is he one of my good friends, he's my running coach. Yes. Here's where I'm blessed. I kind of told him I'm going to talk about him for a second. Here's where I'm blessed. Every Sunday, no matter what, I've been knowing Shane now. I've been seeing him around Bakersfield forever, but personally getting to know him over a year, and he just became one of my real good friends. He's a very anointed man of God. But one thing, every Sunday, no matter what, we have this special app that every Sunday he will send us our running schedule. We're spoiled. He'll send us our whole schedule for the whole week, every single workout. I like the easy days, but there's going to be like two or three hard workouts in there, right? And sometimes I'll open up my app and I'll get to that hard workout. And sometimes I don't understand what it's telling us to do, I'll be honest with you. But I trust in Shane enough that I know it's going to benefit us, right? And there's a few things I can do when I get to that hard workout, because I know the next day is going to be something easy. I can call him, text him, or just not show up and show up on the easy day. I mean, being honest with you, I can do either or. And sometimes that happens. The same thing happens with us when we're reading the Bible. We could be reading the scriptures, and we're on the mountaintop scriptures, right? Romans 8:28, John 3:16, and man, God is just speaking to me. Then all of a sudden, we'll get to a verse where we can maybe, it's a verse where we're like, man, I didn't want to see that yet, right? I have to apply that to my life? And we can do a few things in that. We can call on God at the time. We can call somebody that's maybe a mentor or one of the pastors, or we can skip to the next verse or the chapter. And just avoid it, right? And I pray that that's something that we all come to a maturity with our walk with God that we don't. Because every verse and every scripture is a purpose for your life. And it means something. It's like me, if I skip that workout, it means something. There's a meaning for that workout. There's a purpose for it. It's put there for a reason. Every verse in the Bible is put there for a reason, even when it seems challenging, even when it seems like it's maybe something we're going through and we don't want to stop doing. But see, I'm talking to believers now. Every one of us here that has committed our lives fully to Jesus, we have a responsibility. We have an instruction manual for us to live a godly life. Some of us, we're not there yet. That's okay. You're going to get there if you just keep submitting to God and applying God's word to your life. I've used this illustration many times. It's a piece of a puzzle. That can be our life sometimes. You ever get to that, those last, some of you millennials probably don't even know what a puzzle is. Yeah, I know. I thought about that, right? I was like, man, do they even know what a puzzle is? But you get that box and it shows you the whole picture of the puzzle. Now it's you to put them pieces together. That's what God is doing in our life. He's putting those pieces consistently together. And then sometimes we get to those last three pieces, and you ever try to force that one of those pieces in? It looks like it'll fit, and you even force it in. I mean, you're like, oh, it looks like, and that can be our life sometimes. We're just trying to force and make God do instead of just having the patience and stepping back and allowing the Holy Spirit to do what only God knows how to do. But then sometimes we get to that last piece, right? And we can't find it. For some reason, I don't know why we can't find it. And guess what? That piece of that puzzle is not complete. Some of us might have came in here today and we feel like that. We feel like, God, it feels like I'm just missing that one thing. And hopefully by the end of this teaching, this service today, this Bible study, that you can leave here complete. Not just healed, but made whole. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to leave here with some hope in your life. So let's jump right into 1 John chapter 2, verses 15. We're going to look at this verse. We're going to stay at this verse for a moment. Because you'll notice that in 1 John chapter 1, it's talking about a lot about love. Then all of a sudden, this extreme Bible verse just comes out. And he right away says, do not love the world. In the back, please stay right there. Do not love the world. But you're like, hold up, I'm confused. God said he loved the world, right? Well, I'm going to explain to you what God was talking about. There's two different definitions. There's actually many definitions of the word world. When God was talking about him loving the world, he was talking about loving mankind, humans. But now there is a difference here. This is an instruction. See, these are the verses, sometimes we'll get to them and we'll be like, you know what? It'd probably be better that I just jump to the next chapter, right? Or to the next verse. Let me jump past this, because this means I'm going to have to change some things probably in my life, right? But that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing when you're serving God. So I want us to stay here for a moment to explain to you what this is not and what it is. What it's not is this. This is not saying, man, you mean I can't love my wife and my kids, my children, or my job? It says don't love the world. No. What it's taught, listen to this. When we are told not to love the world, it's referring to the world's value system contrary to God. See, God has a value system. If you're a Bible reader or you're faithful to the house of God, you'll hear God's value system consistently preached, right? I put a few things here, right? God's value system, love your neighbor. The world's value system, hate. We see that a lot in this world. Here's another one. God's value system, forgive. The world's value system can be like, do not forgive. I put right here, this is sacred to God, marriage. That's a value. That's a God's value to in committing yourself to one person. And it's honoring God in marriage. But the world will tell you to date around and not make a commitment. See the difference there? I put right here, and this is biblical scripture right here, the world's value system, lovers of self, lovers of money, unholy. Not putting God in anything in your life. Then I put a few more things here for God's value system, having faith. We as believers, we don't live by just we're lucky or we'll just see what happens. No, we live by faith, faith in God. Here's another one, freedom, we're free. Here's another one, not worrying. The world will tell you to worry. But the Bible teaches us not to worry. Then the Bible talks about being holy as he is holy. So when he says do not love the world, he's talking about man's values, not based on God's values. And these ain't bad things. If you're a believer, this message, these three verses that we're going to go over, you should leave here encouraged. Because some of you might be right on the right direction of what God's going to do in your life. I've learned in life, it's really easy to start stuff, but it's not easy to finish. Sometimes people think it's harder to start. No. I start all kinds of things, but I don't finish a lot. I'm speaking for me. And sometimes we need to, I know a lot of you that have served God for so long and you've started something great and you've seen God move in many ways, but now some of us are starting to serve God, but man, don't give up. Don't give up when you come to verses like this. He's not trying to discourage us, he's trying to encourage us. Amen? Amen. Then it goes on to say this, listen, nor the things in the world. If you're not a believer, that can bring you some like no hope, because you're like, man, you don't understand what I love. But listen to this, what he's talking about. He goes on to talk about this, listen to this, that the love of the Father is not in him. If anyone loves the world, the love, I love this. He makes it so direct that the love of the Father is not in him. So let me read this whole verse again real quick. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Is that kind of clear? It is not. He said, hold up here, man. If you're just loving the value system of the world, Everything that's ungodly and has nothing to do with anything this Bible talks about, I don't know if the Father's in you. So let's look at the next verse here. And then listen to what he says. He explains to us. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Let's stop right there. The lust of the flesh. And what it's talking about, we hear that word flesh a lot. What that meaning is human, our human nature. When you hear Paul refer to crucifying the flesh, he's saying, I'm crucifying my human nature. The nature that before I got born again, before I got saved, I'm denying my fleshly desires. And I put right here, listen to this. The lust means to a strong desire or craving of something. And I put right here, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Listen to what this says here. The lust of the flesh is sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, jealousy, anger, envy, drunkenness. And in Galatians 5:17 through 21, it kind of refers to what the desires of the flesh are. And some of us right now, we might be like, oh, he just hit me on one of those. And what the Word of God is saying to us is that's an area that we need to look at. And that's an area where God can help us. Let's go to the next verse. And it goes on to say this, the world is passing away and also its lust, but he who does the will of God lives forever. Let's go back to 16. Let's go back to 16. Listen to this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Let's stop right there. Now this one, even myself, I got to this one. I go, man, God, sometimes this can be hard to deliver to somebody because what I don't want us to leave here and be like, man, I can't look at nothing. I can't like anything. It's far from that. Always remember when the Bible talks about life, when we give our life to Jesus Christ, he reminds us that he gives us life and life abundantly. Most of us in here, I can't speak for all of you, but I think I can speak for some of us. We came to Christ because most of that stuff didn't bring us life. I mean, can I say that? Most of us were loving the world and the things of the world and temporarily was giving us any joy or peace. And so now God is, we're like reminding us of some of these areas. So I put right here, the lust of the eyes. What is this? Everything that appeals to the eye. Eyes desire what we see, possessions, physical things. But listen to this, that causes us to take our eyes off Jesus. He's not saying walk out of here and not, I love that house. I want to buy that house for my family. No, he's not saying, but is whatever your eyes come in, well, is it taking you from the desires of God? That's a question you have to ask yourself. He says it clearly, and the lust of the eyes. Things that we visually see, things that I believe Satan wants us to see that will take us from God. If you're a believer, and I pray that you get to a place in your walk with God that you do, if the Bible makes it clear to pray for what? All things. We should be saying amen when we go to bed because we prayed all day. I'm being honest with you. That's walking with God. I know I could speak for myself a couple days ago. I was just driving, and I'm trying my best not to do anything out of the will of God. If it's a career or if it's buying a home or a car, wherever, I'm really praying and seeking God for direction because I don't want to just see something and be like, man, I'm just gonna go forward with it. I was saying this prayer in my car. I says, God, I have something in my life. God, is it your will or not your will? God, because if it's your will, I believe you'll give me the desires. I believe you give me the passion. I believe you give me the areas and wisdom and to make that decision, if it's even correct and right for my family. And so, see, a lot of us, we walk at it and we see things. And so God tells us, man, I believe if we can walk out of here and say, you know what, God, not only anoint the words that I say, God, anoint my vision, God. Anoint the things that I see. Anoint, God, when I see something, God, that there's a place in my heart, God, that you've given me the strength to be an overcomer. Because, see, vision is not only a curse, but it's purpose from God, too, because he wants to give us a vision. He wants to give us dreams. He wants to give us things that we see that can glorify him. He wants us to be able to see hurting people. He wants us to be able to see broken people. He wants us to be able to see people that we can give hope to and be a giver to. But if we're lined up not with the Word of God, we're going to be consistently walking in the flesh in its desires. And let me tell you right now, you'll know it's pretty simple. I tell the men in our men's Bible study, I go, write it down. I told them this not too long ago. I said, write down everything that comes good out of alcohol. Then write down everything that bad comes out of alcohol. I promise you, you're not going to write down it fixed my marriage. I got a raise at work. I showed up on my job on time. You know you. And you have to come to a realistic place in your walk with God to say, okay, God, I know me, Lord. I have a problem with this area. God, anoint me. Complete me. Make me whole with that next piece. And God will do that. Let's look at the next verse, please. Stay on 16. And he goes on to say this. So we see here the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And listen to this one. The boastful pride of life. You know what that's talking about? I hear it all the time. What I did, how I did it. And I never hear God in the conversations. That what that is, let me explain a little bit more what this is. It talks about, listen to this, anything that leads to arrogance, pride in self, boasting, and not keeping God the center of it. See, there's a good pride to say, you know what, I've worked hard, God, and I've been serving you, I put you first, God. But this pride is talking about the pride when there's no God involved. And consistently boasting about what you've done and what you've completed in your life. And the Bible makes it clear that the love of the Father is not in us when we are living in that desire, in that fleshly desire of the pride of life, the flesh of the eyes, and the lust of our flesh. And it goes on to say right here, listen to this. And the boastful pride of life is not from the Father. So he makes it clear, if you're in an area right now with your walk with God, and you feel that that's a struggle in your life, this makes it so clear that it's not from the Father. That it is not from God. I'm going to jump to a verse real quick. I want us to stay focused on this, but I think this might help some of us here. It's in 1 Timothy. I'm going to read this verse. Listen to this. Before I share this verse, this is Timothy talking to a young man. This is Paul talking to a young man named Timothy. And I shared this with some of the men last Thursday. Everyone needs a Paul in their life. What Paul was that, he was the preacher, he was the evangelist, he was the teacher, he was the mentor, he was the church planter. And see, here's what happens with our walk with God. We step back and we wait for people to come to us. I'll never forget one time we were doing this Bible study, this men's Bible study, and God spoke to me. Don't wait till somebody goes to you. Why don't you go to them? And you know what? I picked 5 men to be my disciple. I picked them. I said, hey, man, I like how you're walking with God in this area. Can you mentor me and disciple me? I went to another man. Hey, man, I see how faithful you are in the Word of God. Can you mentor me and disciple me? Hey, man, I see this area that, man, I see something in you that I want. Can you mentor me and disciple me? And I picked 5 men in my life. I didn't wait for people to come to me. I went to them. And so I encourage you, you want to come to a place to overcome some areas in your life? And some of these areas that 1 John chapter 2 is talking about, because listen to this. Here's our number one goal in an area of why he's putting verses up like this. Let me read this. Remember, he's talking to a young man. Let no one look down on your youthfulness. So remember, Timothy was a young man. Some of you are young in here and some young ladies. And he's talking to us. He's telling you, don't let nobody look down on you. But he didn't stop there. Listen to what he says. But rather in speech, I'm going to stay right there real quick. What does that mean? And how you talk and what you say. Are you this negative person that just consistently talking how negative everything is and how God can't come through and how poor me and poor all this? He's saying, but rather in speech, listen to this, I love this one, in conduct. He's telling a young man, you want to be an example? You better talk right. You better have some conduct in your life, man. Listen to this one. In your love, in your faith, I love this, in purity. Listen to what he says. Show yourself an example to those who believe. The reason why 2 John chapter 2 extremely tells us, leave that verse up there, not to love the world and love the things of the world,
and explains to us about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and being a prideful person is because us, I'm talking to believers. You might not be saved yet, and I pray you get saved afterwards. He's talking to us believers. He's telling us these kind of scriptures for one thing, to be an example. To be an example. That's why he needs us to be focused on him. Focus on him, so guess what? So we can talk right. Amen. So we can speak life and life abundantly. He's telling us to have conduct in our walk with God, to act right. This is Bible. When you chose to say, I do to Jesus, there's an instruction manual that comes for your life. There's no way around it. It's not how you want to do life no more. There's a reason why, because he wants you to be an example. Then he goes, I love this, in your love. We've seen the world's ways. The world's ways, hate, not forgive, but God's ways, love. Have compassion, have a heart for people, faith. Man, we just lucky, just got a good break. No, you didn't. If you're serving God, it's by faith that God did something great in your life, amen? It's by faith that the Goliath is about to be conquered. It's by faith that God's gonna not only heal you, but make you whole. It's by faith that you're gonna be born again to some of your family members. I heard this story about a man that was in prison for life, for murder. Bound by chains in prison for life. And he ended up getting radically born again in that prison cell. And he said this, it came out of his mouth. He'd never been more free in his whole life until he got born again. And this is a man that's in chains in prison for life. And he goes, he's never been more free until he was born again and saved by Jesus. And some of us today, we might be at a place in our walk with God that we do not feel free. Remember, in God's value system, there's freedom. In God's value system, the chains of the bondage of anything in your life can be broken today. When we come to a place to understand God's not mad at us, he's not picking on us, he's not saying, man, you can't like things. Here's what happens. When we are lusting with our eyes, when we are lusting with our flesh, when we are prideful, it takes our eyes off what Jesus wants to do in your life. It takes us off the will of God in our life. It takes us off a dying world that needs Jesus and hope today. Suicide rate is skyrocket right now. Skyrocket. Murder. I just went to my friend's funeral yesterday. It was horrible what took place. And there's people out there that want to hurt people. But guess what? If we can be examples for Jesus, if we can be the hope givers, we'll be surprised of a dying world that its system and how we should be. And if we start applying the word of God, we'll see people get born again and saved. Amen to that. Daniel, I remember it, when he was told not to praise God. And guess what he did? That was man's value. He still praised God. We see it through scripture, the man's value system and what we should do. But if the Bible tells us different, we need to learn to apply the biblical principles of God to our life. Let's go to the next verse, 17. Now look at this. The world is passing away. It's passing away. He's making that clear. He goes, listen, I know some of this just stuff might have some of you bound and strongholds in your life, but he makes it clear. But this world's passing away. He said all this stuff is passing away, and also its lusts. So he's telling us right now, all the stuff and the lust of the eye and he said that stuff's gonna pass away. It's all temporary. I'm the one that gives life. But here it is. Here's the hope for us believers right now. If we want any hope, here's the verse that's gonna give us hope. Because if we read all that, it could be like, man, I don't even want to look at anything. No, here's the hope. But the one who does the what? The will of God lives forever. There's our hope as Christians. The one that does the will of God. I'll put a few things up here of what is the will of God. This is just a few. We could probably set up here for an hour. What's God's will? Number one, to be saved, to be born again. Number two, God's will is for us to pray, to give. God's will, I love this one, to find joy in tribulations. to make disciples. Let's keep that up there real quick. That's just five things out of this whole book that have so much of the will. And he tells us, and some of us already want to shout because we know we were lined up to what God's wanting us to do in our life. That we're in God's will. We're saved, number one. We're praying for people and lost people and areas in our life to grow and be more connected to Jesus. We're givers. Man, I know some givers, man. They'll give you the shirt off their back. They really will, because you know what? God has set them free. And I love this one. If we can get a hold of this one, we'll be surprised how many people, especially at our workplace, that will probably get born again, is to find joy in tribulations. You know, people, when you say you're born again and you're saved, you know what they look for? They look for when you are going through something bad, how you're going to react. If you're reacting like, you know, things ain't going too good, but you know what? I'm just trusting in God, man. I'm just trusting in God. I'm going to still give 100% at my workplace. I'm still going to give 100% to my family. I'm going to trust. You'd be surprised how much of a light you can be to somebody else. When you can learn to find joy in tribulations, make disciples. And you know what that was? You see Paul, this great man of God, pouring into this young man. You all need a Paul, and then you need a Timothy. Discipling somebody, being an example. That should, you walking out of here should be so motivated to say, you know what, Pastor, I can't wait to reread those verses and pray and ask God, God, help me if I have an area where I'm lusting with my eyes. God, help me with this area of these desires of my flesh. God, help me to crucify it, what Paul says. Then God, break this pride out of me. I don't want to be prideful. God, everything I do, I want to let people know you are the one. You are the one that set me free. God, you are the one that healed me. God, you are the one that gave me purpose and a direction in life. God, you are the one. That's where God wants you to be. Give God some praise in this place. Amen. Amen. I was so blessed to see when I went. I look for this when I go to funerals. It's just probably because I've done so many funerals. I've been to so many funerals. Because guess what? One in one persons die. All of us here are destined to eternity with Jesus if you're born again. That's a good thing. That should give us a drive and ambition every single day to wake up and say, God, help me to fulfill your will. Jesus, look at him. He was in some tribulation. He even said, Father, pass this cup. But hold up. He stopped. He said, hold up now. Hold up. But it ain't my will. It's your will be done. Some of you might be in that tribulation right now. Father, man, I can't take this. But you know what, God? It's not my will. It's your will be done. Amen? I might be walking through hell right now, God. But you know what? It's not my will. It's your will for me to have joy. God, you know what, God? I might be sick right now, but it's not my will. It's your will for me to still give hope, God. You know what, God? My whole family's falling apart. But you know what, God? It's not my will. It's your will to keep serving you. Give God some praise in this place. Amen. God's will. And this is where I was blessed. I've been to funerals. I've done funerals that I almost called some people to say, please come show this person some love, because there was no one there. I'm being honest with you. And what I seen yesterday, it blew my mind of my friend that passed away. That church held 1,100, and there was people standing in the hallways all the way outside because he made a difference in life. He impacted people's life. He was a giver. He had patience with people. He loved. He was a leader, and it was amazing hearing the stories of his life. What are you representing in your life? We have an opportunity to walk out of here, not just say, God, who's going to come to my funeral? No, saying, God, who am I going to impact, God? Who am I going to be an example to today, Lord? Maybe I completely missed the mark. Guess what? You might be calling that person and apologizing. One time I was out, I don't know if my friend's here, Shimron, but he said this is where he finally felt some little bit more respect for me. I was yelling at one of our young guys. I was just frustrated, right? And then afterwards, man, I felt so bad. I apologized. I said, come here, man. I hugged him. I said, I'm so sorry. And Shimron said, right there, that's when I knew I got to be around you, Al. But I said the same thing to him. It was so simple of just, you know what, man? I was wrong, and I apologize. Please forgive me. We gave our life to Jesus to be examples for God. I'm going to close here right now. It's already 8 o'clock. I don't want to keep you long because I want you to just understand that God loves you, number one. that God wants not just to heal you, he wants to make you whole. But here it is. Some of us, we just need that last piece of the puzzle. We've tried everything else. We tried lusting with our eyes. We tried stuff. We tried being prideful. And guess what? We're still, for some reason, we're still empty. We're still in a place that some of us can't even sleep tonight because we have no peace. And guess what? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Some of us, we need a counselor. Guess what? Got some good news for you. Jesus is the mighty counselor. Amen. You don't understand. My doctor don't get answers. Well, guess who does? Jesus. You don't understand where my kids are. Oh, trust me. Keep praying for them. Trust me. I just seen God do a miracle with my son. Got to do a miracle in yours. Keep praying for him. Keep seeking God. He has the answers. That last piece today, it's going to be up to you. For you not to leave with that one piece gone, empty. That one piece might just be Jesus' hope, his peace, his love, his comfort. I don't know, you know. The altar's gonna be open. You can pray where you're at, but that don't leave here. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let your own eyes and your nature of your flesh lie to you. If you're fighting a fight, you need to fight right up here and say, you know what, Pastor? I'm giving my life completely to Jesus. I'm struggling with pride. Everything I see, I want. And it got nothing to do with God. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not saying you can leave here with life and life abundantly and God will open up doors. God wants businessmen. He wants business women. He wants you to prosper. Don't let the devil lie to you. The word of God wants you to prosper, but in God's way, in God's direction. Amen. Everybody on their feet, we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise, God. I thank you for all these amazing men and women here today, Lord. And I pray that you speak to their hearts, God. Prayer team is coming up. God, right now, Lord, if there's anybody right now that your word spoke to, that one piece, God, and it's just your son, Jesus, or it's that one piece of hope, that one piece of just love or joy that they need, God, I pray, God, you answer their prayers right now, God. I pray in the name of Jesus for everybody in here, God. And if there's anybody right now that's never given their life to Jesus Christ, or you want to recommit your life to Jesus, don't let pride, don't let the people are watching me. You put your hand up right now and say, I'm going all in for Jesus today. There's some hands back there, praise God. There's a hand right there in the front, praise God. And some hands back there. Let's give God some praise, God, because guess what? The angels in heaven are rejoicing. And I'm speaking to somebody right now. Depression with Christians, depression with is at the highest point right now. I feel you. I was there. 3 years, never wanted to live. Even when I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't understand it. You got to trust in God with this. You got to come up here. The Bible says, "Let them lay hands on the sick." You got to come up. Don't leave here without getting hands laid on you in prayer over your life right now. I pray right now. Don't leave here with that depression in your life. Let God heal you. Let God speak to you. Let God give you a different direction. Because he is the Prince of Peace. Trust me, I know. So let's pray right now for that. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Don't let no one person leave out of here, God, that is in any kind of depression, anxiety, or any kind of mental challenge. God, devil, you are a liar. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over no one in this place right now. Father God, I pray over any hopelessness right now. Anybody with any hopelessness and emptiness, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you fill them with all your desires and you fill them with all your peace right now, God. I pray, God, financially, God. Sometimes finances is hard for everybody, God, but I pray in the name of Jesus you put giving in their hearts more than you ever given, Lord. Not only just finances, but giving in themselves to the kingdom of God. I pray for that in the name of Jesus. God, I pray you're one of your fruits of the Spirit is self-discipline. God, I pray for all of us. Give us self-discipline more so we can read your word, so we can be praying consistently, God, and we can go on after you for your kingdom. God, I pray that right now, God, and I pray in the name of Jesus, God, as we walk out of this place, God. Help us to be examples in our conduct, in our speech, in our faith, and our love so we can touch a dying world. Give God the biggest praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. If you need prayer, please come up here. God bless you guys.
for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.